Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, freedom, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And I am thrilled and very honored that we are joined by Dr. Will Tuttle. And Dr. Tuttle is joining us via Skype in Northern California. And Dr. Tuttle is well known in the vegan community and the truther community worldwide. And his latest book is Food for Freedom, Reclaiming Our Health and Rescuing Our World. And he's also the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, which he wrote in 2005. And so the Food for Freedom is an update, and especially with what is happening worldwide in these recent years. And we'll be discussing some of the many important concepts presented in Food for Freedom. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm delighted to join you, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Well, I'm delighted for all the work that you do and also with your spouse, Madeline. It's exciting to see your video channel of where you share your food forest, of how you've turned a quarter of an acre into a food forest filled with berry bushes and vegetables and many fruit trees and nut trees, all veganically. That's awesome.
Right. Well, that's true. We lived for 17 years in an RV, just traveling around North America and worldwide, but mainly in the United States, giving lectures and concerts and workshops and things and spreading the good news about veganism. And we've been here now almost 12 years. And so we put in a food forest. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Concord, Massachusetts, and there were the Concord grapes just growing by the side of the road. So now we have lots of grapes growing here, as well as 75 fruit trees and nut trees and lots of veggies. And my wonderful wife, Madeline, is really a very adept gardener, and she spends a lot of time out there. And so we're able to really live to a large degree on the food that's coming out of our garden and share it with neighbors and even sell a little bit at the local farmers market. So I think that's an important part of our living nowadays, is to try to reconnect with the earth in a positive, loving way, and the natural abundance really that's here on this earth, and to question all of the program that comes out of our educational system and out of the governmental and media channels that are always emphasizing lack and there's not enough and so forth, that we could really feed everyone on this planet on a fraction of the land, especially eating an organic, whole food, plant-based diet, which takes so much less land and water and resources. And instead of being engaged in a violent and dominating mentality, which we have to have if we're eating the flesh of cows and pigs and chickens, or basically stealing their eggs or their milk, to just let the animals live their lives freely like they did for millions of years. And we can be planting foods, vegetables, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, legumes, and so forth. And we get a huge return, basically, and much more. We don't need animals. In fact, our food forest is what is known as veganic. So we refrain from using bone meal and blood meal and fish meal and manure and all these animal inputs that people think you have to add to build up the soil, because we realize there's lots of ways to build up the soil just with using plant-based compost and so forth, and recycling nutrients. And that's what we do. And we just keep building up the soil, and it gets better and better. And our trees are giving us, we're getting like 600 nectarines this year from one little nectarine tree. And it's just fantastic, really, to have this kind of relationship with the local land where we're living.
Beautiful. Will you please talk a bit about the boomerang effect? As we sow, we reap.
For example, osteoporosis, we maximize how much profit we can get out of cows by taking as much milk out of them as we can, and same thing with chickens and eggs. So these animals are losing bone mass in the calcium and magnesium that is in the milk and the eggs and the eggshells. And so they have severe osteoporosis, and very often their bones are breaking right under them. And we have an osteoporosis epidemic, of course. And the same thing with cancer. These animals are forced to live in extremely toxic environments, eating toxic food under enormous stress. And they have high cancer rates. We get higher. Our cancer rates are also increasing continually. Stress levels are increasing. Medications for stress and so forth have been going up every year as we increase the stress and hyperconfinement of these animals. And so we have to realize compassion for others is the foundation for happiness for ourselves. Cruelty and violence abuse of others is the foundation for unhappiness for ourselves. If we are going to insist on breaking their families up and allowing no relationships, then we find ourselves more and more feeling alone and isolated in our society, because we, as we sow, we reap. We destroy relationships. I've been warning for years that if we're going to insist on force medicating these animals, they don't have a choice. You know, they're vaccinated over and over and over again for all kinds of things, and these are poisons that are very harmful to the animals, but they boost profits for the industry. And the same thing with tracking. They're microchipped and tracked all the way through the whole thing. So do we really want to find ourselves in the same situation with forced medication and forced tracking and microchipping and so forth of ourselves and our children? This is basically turning humanity into livestock. You know, we turn these beautiful animals who celebrated their lives for millions of years free of human interference, and we started interfering with them about 10,000 years ago, as I talk about in these books, and we started sowing the seeds not only of their enslavement but for our own enslavement. And now the technology is in place where just a very few people can control a very large number of people the same way one or two people can control a whole shed of 10,000 animals. So technology allows the tracking and the domination and exploitation of the many by the few. And now we have a situation, which I think people must be waking up to this, where we have just a very small percentage of humanity. It's actually about 1/10,000th of 1% of us is this very most super wealthy, powerful plutocratic class, and through technology they're able to basically in many ways treat us the way we treat cows and pigs and chickens and exploit us. So the beautiful truth is that as we wake up to see what's happening and stop exploiting these animals, cows and pigs and chickens, and also, like you say, animals that are abused terribly in vivisection and laboratories, testing medications and products, if we liberate these animals, then we will be liberating ourselves. That's the only way to liberate ourselves in the big picture. If we think that we can somehow find ourselves worthy of truth and freedom and leaders who are really wise and compassionate and care about us, then we have to be that to those who are less powerful than we are, which are these animals. And as long as we're going to crush them with no mercy and no kindness and without even any sense of remorse, what makes us think that we're worthy of a world of freedom and joy and abundance when we're inflicting misery and violence and despair on the millions of other animals every day? That it's not that we're bad, evil people. It's just that we've been born into a culture where from the time we're little infants, we're compelled to eat the food that everybody's eating, just like we speak the language everybody's speaking. And so it just gets hardwired into us. But we are not robotic, you know, automatons. We're beings with a conscience. And so we need to rouse ourselves out of this hypnotic trance we've been placed into from infancy by well-meaning people who are also similarly wounded and abused, and heal ourselves, heal this mentality of violence towards animals. And the great thing is that when we do that, our own health, our physical health, our psychological health, our spiritual health just starts to blossom. We are eating cleaner food. We have a clean conscience. We're not harming other living beings. We're contributing as best we can to reduce environmental devastation. and cruelty in the world and the cruelty that poor workers have to inflict on animals. And these workers have the highest rates of drug addiction and suicide and work-related injuries and so forth. So the more we bless others and move to a plant-based or plant-sourced way of eating, we free up food to solve the world hunger problem, for example. We can feed everyone on a fraction of the land and the water. So this is something each one of us can do, and it's a beautiful, positive thing to be aware of, as well as, of course, the fact that if we fail to do that, the stakes are very high. We have a technology now that can really enslave us, and we're not far away from that if we continue to enslave animals, if we continue to insist to keep our eyes closed to the consequences of our actions. And I want to say, I just read yesterday that three countries in Europe are now mandating vaccine passports. They're rolling them out, that you can't go here and go there and do this or that. You have to have your vaccine passport. They're going to do this as a trial. It's Greece, Germany, Belgium, Latvia, and Portugal, those five countries. And then I also read, actually, something very even more disturbing, which is that New Zealand has now just officially approved their new pandemic policy, which gives the country, the government, the right, the public health department, the right to use physical force to inject anyone with a vaccine or any medical treatment. So that has now been approved in the country of New Zealand. Similar legislation is also passed in Indonesia. So we have to realize there are steps continuing to unfold in our societies and around the world toward reducing our bodily autonomy, our health freedom, and so forth. Just like cows and pigs and chickens have no choice, we use physical force on them. Well, it's going to happen to us, and it is happening to us. And it's our responsibility to make an effort to understand this, to make these connections, and to share these ideas with other people, because we are responsible for the quality of our society and our communications and our health. And each one of us can make a positive difference when we make an effort to understand these things and then share these ideas. So thank you so much, Marlene, for all you're doing to help bring these understandings into the light of day.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
And it's really important to understand, I think, that the pharmaceutical industry is probably as much or even more invested in animal agriculture, in domination of animals, than even the meat, dairy, and egg industries, because not only all the vivisection and all the torturing of the animals and using of animal products in the medications, but also the fact that when people eat meat, dairy, and eggs, then they're pretty much guaranteed to have high rates of liver disease, kidney disease, heart disease, cancer, obesity, and Alzheimer's and other dementia and other things. These are all linked pretty much definitively to diets that are high in meat, dairy, and eggs. And all the toxins, the PCBs, heavy metals, dioxin, nuclear radiation, it all concentrates in the flesh, especially in fish. And fish are fed to all these other animals like cows and pigs and chickens to fatten them up. And so it just really works well to concentrate toxic chemicals in people's bodies, which is what the goal is. I mean, if you want to make a lot of money, you don't want people like me, who I've not been to a drugstore or a doctor now since the 1970s, about 50 years. And you want people who are eating foods that have a lot of toxins, who are getting sick, and then who will spend a lot of money, need to spend a lot of money on the medications, and also have less energy, less clarity. They're not able to really stand up and think clearly because of the poison. So we are being poisoned deliberately, because that's where the money is, and that's also where control is. We have to be proactive and protect ourselves and our children from these toxic chemicals.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author, lecturer, composer, and pianist. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. Now we're listening to the piano music of Will Tuttle. from his album Animal Song. This is The Fish Song. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Will Tuttle.
That money that is used, that is spent on the pharmaceutical, medical, chemical complex is used to lobby politicians and to control the media to keep the thing growing and going. And there's very few liberated media spaces left. I mean, this, your show here, Marlene, is a rarity nowadays because there's such an aggressive push to silence anyone who questions the official stories that bring money and power, again, to a few, but at the expense of us, the many who have our health and our clarity and really our beautiful earth and environment increasingly ruined by these practices and by the money, the way it's being spent. So it's the best thing we can do is to take responsibility for our health and eat a healthy, organic, plant-sourced diet, think healthy thoughts, cultivate loving relationships, be creative, connect with nature, meditate regularly to feel our oneness with the infinite love and freedom, which is our true source, and realize that we are not just a thing, an object that was born and will die. We are infinite and eternal consciousness manifesting on this earth with a purpose. And to live our purpose, to live our life without fear, and with joy and with love. And when we do that, we really activate all the cells in our being to have radiant health, and we create a beautiful movement that is contagious. It's a natural contagion, a positive contagion. We spread love and kindness and joy and freedom and compassion to animals and to each other because that's what we're living in our own lives.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
It's interesting, the woman who's the head of the United Nations Communications Division recently was interviewed, and she said, we own the science. We own the science about climate change. And she said, this was a few years ago, when she went online, she saw that there was still, on the search engines like Google, there was still some misinformation there. And so she got in touch with them and made sure that to change that. So we have to understand that it's very difficult to get the truth about what's really happening to our health or to the climate, because she said the two main things that we have to make sure there's no disinformation about are vaccinations and climate change. So those are the two things that we should really be especially attentive and make sure that we're not being lied to about by the forces that are trying to control humanity, because the United Nations, to be aware, you know, they have this summit of the future, September 22nd and 23rd of 2024 coming up. And it all sounds very benevolent, you know, that they want to tackle the problems that are facing our common future and create a more equitable and sustainable world. So that's the interesting thing. Evil always clothes itself in something that looks benevolent. We have to really understand that. But if you look carefully at every single proposal, all 17, for example, of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals that they talk about, every single one of them is designed to centralize power in the hands of a smaller and smaller technocratic elite. And so the centralization of power is really the goal of the climate change narrative. And the goal of the climate change narrative is to basically limit our ability to go anywhere, to travel. And what do you do to cows and pigs and chickens if you want to turn them into livestock? You just don't let them travel, right? You take away their ability to travel, and there they are. They're slaves. They can't go anywhere. And so now you can exploit them to your heart's content. So we have to realize that we're being very gullible and foolhardy if we don't question the climate change narrative, which has the main goal of taking away our freedom to move around, to go places, to to meet with other people and to share messages and to gather for conferences and all these things. And then, so what I've done in the Food for Freedom book is go into this in more in-depth, and it's a very in-depth discussion we have to have.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle, and thanks for bringing that topic up.
Well, yeah, there's so many different things, but yeah, one of the things that's really, I think, takes the cake in a way, as they say, is this new idea that, that the Gates Foundation is funding, which is to come up with a new vaccine that will be administered to all cows that will make their make them give off less methane when they digest their the grass and grains that they're eating to fight climate change. So it's vaccination to fight climate change, you know. And to me, it's just a terrible idea, obviously, because you're poisoning these poor animals.
I thought for sure that the animal rights movement was going to all join worldwide and say, hey, no, we can't be forced to take Conus products, inject them into our bodies. That's a violation to all the laboratory animals that's involved in everything with research, development, production, and distribution.
Right. All vaccines have animal products in them, all of them. And if you look at, just go to the CDC website, you can look it up. But there's cow and bovine cell lines that are used, as well as camels and monkeys and pigs and chickens and horses and dogs and all kinds of stuff. They because a vaccine, by definition, is you creating something that your then your body gives it a rehearsal. That's the idea. So you introduce something that's somewhat toxic, and then they also have adjuvants. But all these toxic these cell lines come from animals. And some of them come from human cell lines, from aborted fetuses. And the only exception, somewhat, perhaps slight exception to this, are the so-called COVID vaccines, which are not vaccines. They're not based on that principle of an attenuated substance to give your body a rehearsal. They're based on modifying the DNA and RNA in your cells to make the toxin, to make the spike proteins. So they don't rely on cell lines, but they do rely on aborted fetal cell lines, which come from little boys and girls that were literally cut out of their mother, and their kidneys were cut out of them while they were alive, and then they were just disposed of on a dead pile like they do sheep and goats and cows. It's something that we should be aware of. And also there's other animal products used in them, like squalene, which comes from shark tissues. And horseshoe crab blood is used in a lot of these, in the mRNA vaccines too. So there's animal abuse, and then they're all tested on animals. And the animals, and testing is terrible. Like you're killing the animals. And so we have to realize that this whole so-called health system is really based on harming animals and humans, because that's where the money is. You want to reduce the power of the natural health of a little baby. You want to vaccinate them so that as they get older, they'll have a more likelihood of having some type of chronic disease. And this is well documented. This is nothing I'm making up. I mean, this is when I was a kid in the 1950s and 60s, the rate of chronic disease was low. It was about 6 to 7% in the population. Today, it's way up. It's over 65-70%. Of people now have some kind of chronic illness. And so that's a tremendous amount of money that people are having to spend for medications for their chronic illness, of all types of autoimmune diseases and heart medications and blood thinners and all kinds of stuff.
Watching every move, they say we're gonna die. They'll take away our privileges, they force us to comply.
They're in our smartphone, they're on our TV.
They're in the chemtrails, they're in our herbal tea.
They'll bribe us with a lie,
invade us with AI.
They want complete control,
they want our very soul.
But don't you all forget we're always free.
This is We're Free by the esteemed Onions. That's vegan animal liberation activists, D. David Jardina and Gene Marilla.
I'm free, you're free, he's free, she's free, we're free, they're free, free, free.
About some of the things that happen to farmed animals and also animals in laboratories, and now what's happening to humanity.
Right. Well, that's a really good point, Marlene. And what I refer to in the World Peace Diet and also in Food for Freedom as the boomerang effect is really in many ways a modern iteration of the ancient teaching that is in all the world's wisdom traditions. As you sow, so shall you reap. And we need to really take that teaching seriously. And I think we know that on some level, that the present that we're experiencing in many ways is a direct result of our past and the future in the same way we're creating right now. And it's based on slaughtering millions of animals every single day, billions every day if we include marine animals. And so it's a vast killing machine, and we're causing a lot of suffering and disease and violence to these animals who have interests that are as important to them as our interests are to us. And so we have to understand that what we do to them, we eventually experience ourselves. The fact is that these animals are not capable of retaliating directly. They're not able to take us to court and sue us or to hit us back or whatever, but our violence towards them itself retaliates as the very things that we are inflicting on them. And so,
don't let them trick us.
Don't let them stick us.
Don't let them buy us.
Don't let them bone dry us.
No, don't you all forget we're always free.
That completes our interview for today with Dr. Will Tuttle. He'll be joining us again on Vegan Nation in the near future as we continue this conversation. One can visit his websites, foodforfreedom.net and also worldpeacediet.com for more information. Much thanks to David Jardina and Gene Morello, the esteemed Onions, for their song, We're Free.
We are free.
Much thanks to all listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station, nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Share this announcement of three upcoming vegan events on August 17th. National Animal Rights March in London, UK, starting at 12 p.m. at Marble Arch, London. Also on the 17th, in New York City, Black Veg Fest, Liberation and Wellness. That's 12 p.m. to 7 p.m., Lincoln Terrace Park, Brooklyn, New York. And here in Massachusetts, Vegan Potluck Picnic in the Park, August 17th at Dean Park, Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, 12:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Wishing you a beautiful, pleasant day. Let's go out with the song by Will Tuttle, To Be Free. And let's make 2024 the year that all are free. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, health, freedom, wellness, and justice. The views of this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015, and much thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I am very honored and thrilled that we are joined by Kate Kunkel via Skype in Ecuador. And Kate has a massive amount of experience in the vegan world and also with brain health, and we'll be hearing all about that. Her story and her experiences in life are amazing, and I'm greatly honored. Welcome, Kate, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
I'm delighted to be joining you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you. So I'd like to start out by reading your bio and then hearing more from you about your life. Thank you, Kate. Kate Kunkel turned her mother's tragic illness and death from dementia into her mission in life. When she learned that this and most dementias were preventable, Kate expanded her healing work as a sound therapist and vegan nutritionist and became both an AMEN certified brain health professional and an Apollo Recode coach. Now, through personal coaching, group programs, and in her books, Kate helps people take action to remedy the mental and physical health issues that can threaten their ability to learn, remember, make good decisions, and enjoy life. She is also an international best-selling author of Don't Let the Memories Fade, a holistic guide to preventing dementia and creating a healthier, more vibrant future, and the Healthy Brain series, which includes The Vegan Brain and The Musical Brain. Wonderful, Kate. Thank you. And can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
As you read in the bio, I decided that in addition to my work as a sound therapist, when mom got sick, and I was also diagnosed, when my mom was diagnosed with dementia, I happened to be diagnosed also with rheumatoid arthritis, and there were so many things going on in my life, and I felt terrible, and I was worried about her, and I just thought I have to do something else, so I dug into why these things would happen and learned that autoimmune disease is very intimately related and is, in fact, a risk factor for developing dementia. You know, I dove in and tried to figure out what the heck was going on. There weren't a lot of resources at the time, 14 years ago. So I, you know, it's not like now with Dr. Amen's protocols and the Bredesen protocols. They were still sort of not so well known. And so I had to dig it out and work on myself. It was a little bit too late to help my mom because she was pretty far advanced by the time they diagnosed what was going on with her. And it turned out she also had cancer for the fourth time at that when she was diagnosed with dementia. So it was just this perfect storm of things going on. I was able to make her a little bit more comfortable for a while, but then, you know, she just went into this steady decline, which scared me half to death, of course. So I just dug in deeper in my own health and was able to reverse the autoimmune disease that was called rheumatoid arthritis. And I have not had a relapse at all since I conquered it about 10 years ago. I guess I feel that I had no more symptoms after that. And so my life, just I just dug into this, and knowing the power of a whole foods vegan diet, which is what helped me, I just felt that I had to share that with the world the best way I knew how. And so I wrote Don't Let the Memory Fade, and then the next book was The Vegan Brain. And all of it, and my work as a health coach, it's all focused on helping people overcome pain, overcome autoimmune disease, and help prevent the terrible scourge that is dementia. But in doing that, it also helps protect them against cancer and heart disease and so many other issues. So it's a big passion of mine to help people be healthier and happier, partly with diet, but of course with music.
Thank you, Kate. We're listening to Kate Kunkel. Her programs and books offer nutritional information, including important information about vitamin B12. I'd like to include this announcement here now. For diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition, and before you embark on this or any other program, consult your physician or other trusted health advisor. That's a quote from Kate's books. Now I'd like to hear a little bit more about your other experiences in life, including being a TV show host.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, I've always been a bit of a rebel, you know. My life has not followed the typical path by any stretch. And gosh, it's a long time ago, 2010 now. My former husband and I had a metaphysical store in Pahrumps, Nevada. And we were selling, you know, books on alternative health and just all kinds of really interesting stuff. And it was a very small town. And my husband, who had experience in the television and radio industry, approached a local television station and said, we'd like to do a show to help promote the store and also just, you know, give you some more programming, because they were really, you know, they didn't have a lot of original programming. So they jumped at the chance. And so we started this tiny little show in this tiny little town. It was called Out There TV. And we just had people on talking about everything from chemtrails, from the food sources, from big pharma. We talked about ghosts and aliens. We just had a wonderful time. And we did that for 9 years. After the first year, though, that show grew to Las Vegas and to some places in Arizona. And then it moved. Actually, we went international. We were on the Sky Network in all across Europe. And we were in, like, I think 54 stations across the U.S. So it became this bigger than we could have ever imagined. And it was just a way for us to be able to talk to people with really interesting, not of the mainstream information. And I think that has also, it also colored my attitude towards my own health when I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, because I knew that big pharma wasn't going to help me. So I had to find another way. So that was Out There TV, and we did it for 9 years.
That's so important, too, to get the alternative information, since the mainstream is captured by the big corporations and the multi-billionaires and the whole agenda and system. And especially we see that happening today with the censored out of mainstream news, and we see that happening a lot for quite a while now. Yeah, especially starting in 2020. And what does being a vegan have to do with the spiritual side of the brain?
Well, think about it. When we are fed the products that come from animals that have been, and I say the word torture not lightly, I believe that they are, in many of them, poor things, experience torture most of their lives, exploitation and slaughter. That energy goes into those products. That has to have an impact. This is my personal opinion. I don't have scientific evidence to prove that. But when you think about it, the energy, everything is energy, right? Everything is vibrating. If the energy of the food that you're ingesting is negative and is vibrating at a very low frequency, that is going to affect you in many, many ways. Also, if you know that what you're eating has been treated well, but it's still murdered, you still are ingesting the idea of murder. Slaughter. Even if you think that whatever it is you're eating was treated well, you have to know it had to die. And that has to affect you on a spiritual level. Just like knowing that people surrounding you are lying or cheating or stealing, that energy affects you. It's going to affect you spiritually, mentally, physically. And if you know that the creatures that you are eating in one way or another, or using their products, their byproducts, that has to affect you on a spiritual level. And most people don't even realize, but just like when you're surrounded by people who are very negative, think of what's going on in the world right now with the negativity everywhere, politics, wars, all of that affects us enough too. That's energy. The energy from those negative influences affect us in many, many ways, including our brain. And our brains are not just physical. Our brains are emotional, psychological, spiritual. One of the things Dr. Amen teaches is that there are four aspects of the brain. And those are the four things: physical, spiritual, psychological, and mental. So So they all have to be healthy for us to have healthy brains and to be able to think and to make good decisions and to hold on to our precious memories.
Thank you, Kate. It's great that you are also a musician and sound therapist, vibroacoustic therapy in particular. How does all of that fit into a better brain?
Ah, we're back to the frequencies, right? So I was just saying about how negativity is a low frequency and it affects us in so many ways. Well, music, think of all the wonderful ways that music can make you feel better. When you're feeling kind of blue, put on some happier music, or when you need to contemplate, to put on some meditative music. It affects us on so many levels. But it's not just the music itself. It's just not the sound, the melody. It's not just the beat of the music. It's actually the frequencies. And that's where my work as a vibroacoustic therapist comes in, because we work on very specific frequencies, and we use devices that help the frequencies go right directly into our bodies. Those frequencies, there's one especially important called, it's 40 hertz. It'd be basically the low E on a piano. That 40 hertz has been shown in studies to actually improve brain function, even in people who are suffering from mild Alzheimer's. For people who have mild cognitive decline or objective cognitive decline, we have seen amazing work when they're exposed to this 40 hertz frequency for about 22 minutes a day over several weeks. So it can be like twice a week, over 5 to 6 weeks, their brain health scores can improve. Now, they still need to continue that if they want to continue the benefits of vibroacoustic therapy, but it can get better and better. The way to hold on to it is to also make the diet and do the exercise and do all the other things you need to do. So we can use specific frequencies for physical health, like improving the brain function of those who have Alzheimer's or mild cognitive decline. But we can also use other frequencies like 68 hertz. That helps people who are having anxiety and depression. So the music itself is one part. The frequency is one part. And then, of course, the intention. Healing always has the element of intention. So when I, as a sound therapist or a harp therapist, or any sound therapist, our intention and the intention of the client has a big role in the healing, but all of that can contribute to a healthier brain.
We're listening to Kate Kunkel in Ecuador. Kate is a vegan nutritionist, author of the Healthy Brain series, a coach, and a Celtic harpist. You tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Kate Kunkel.
For much of my life, and certainly when I started playing the harp, I had two beautiful white wolf dogs, my best friends in the whole world, Timber and Caleb. And they used to love sitting by me as I would be practicing the harp. And when I first started playing, my background is in piano, of course. I started when I was 4, thanks to my mom. She made sure I had a piano when I was a real little girl. So I've been playing music all my life, but I'd never really written anything. No original music whatsoever. But these dogs inspired me. They were sitting right by the harp one night, and I looked at them and I thought, this is what real devotion is. They're sitting here listening to me practice. So I wrote this song for them, and it ended up on the CD that is actually in the Healing Sound of Music, the book that we're offering as part of this fundraiser. But this is called Gabriel's Lullaby, and it's an original tune by me for my dogs.
Gabriel's Lullaby by Kate Kunkel. Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts, and I am honored and thrilled that we are joined by Kate Kunkel. Thank you so much, Kate, once again for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Delighted to be here. Thanks, Marlene.
I'd like to ask you some more questions about a vegan diet being very impactful in better mental health for a better brain. Can you please elaborate?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So mental health is intimately tied to the health of our guts. A lot of people now have heard the name microbiome, and that really is a very important thing to know about. We need a healthy microbiome. A healthy brain is made in large part thanks to the gut. We are going to have a certain amount of stress that's going to come through from the gut. You know, we're going to experience it coming from the gut. That's where those butterflies come from. But those butterflies are actually the microbes in our body. They're actually sending messages. So we want to make a healthy gut to have a healthy brain, which is then necessary to get good mental health. So all the things that we can do to improve our microbiome contribute to a healthier state of mental well-being. So, you know, it has everything to do with the stress hormones. It has everything to do with the neurotransmitters. So start with a healthy gut. How do you get a healthy gut? You feed it well, and we feed it probiotics, which are the things like fermented foods, sauerkraut, and kombucha tea and kefir water, those sorts of things are the probiotics. And we feed it prebiotics. That's where our healthy greens, our leafy greens, and our Jerusalem artichoke, that sort of thing. A lot of people who suffer from depression, actually, their depression lifts, and they are able to sustain a healthy state of mental health simply by changing their diet to get more fiber and to improve their microbiome with the proper whole food vegan diet.
Thank you, Kate. And what is it that makes you feel that a vegan diet is the best choice for a healthy brain?
Well, I really think that part of it is just the inflammation that is caused by any animal products. And when I say vegan, I also mean whole food vegan, because I don't think that it's a really good idea to incorporate a lot of processed foods. I know I have no problem with it as a way of sort of transitioning from the standard diet that most people are in. So while I don't have a problem really with good oils, which some whole foods aficionados refuse to allow oils, I do, olive oil and avocado oil, that sort of thing. But I think steering away from animal products, firstly, the energy that is in those animal products does have an effect on our bodies in many ways, but also these poor animals, especially the factory farmed animals, are fed such terrible food and they're kept in such abysmal conditions that all of those toxins, I guess is what I'm thinking about, are sent through the food and that ends up in your body. You cannot have a healthy brain, a sharp brain, if your body is filled with toxins and saturated fats and the chemicals that are fed to these poor animals and that they're injected with. So I think a big part of it is inflammation. Another part is saturated fat. But I think to get the most benefit for your brain, when we clean out the diet, and that means from bad fats, from chemicals and drugs like antibiotics that are injected into these poor animals, we have a better chance of keeping our brains healthy and actually growing better brains. Neuroplasticity and neurogenesis are real, so we can do that with a good diet.
Thank you, Kate. And could you ad lib a little bit more on that in relation to the current trend in 2024 with many people involved who are not vegan, who are in the human freedom movement? They are saying that the factory farmed processes of agriculture is the problem, and so now they're taking it into their own hands and raising organic.
And they claim that that's healthy.
I absolutely disagree, because animals still excrete enzymes and hormones when they're about to be murdered. And that ends up in the product, bottom line. There's no nice way to kill something. So even if they are raised supposedly organically, supposedly in good conditions, they're still being murdered at the end of the game. And as far as eggs, you know as well as I, the egg industry and the dairy industry, even if they're raised, quote, organically, they are still exploiting the animals and taking their babies from them, the dairy cows for sure, and they're grinding up the male chicks. I don't care if it's organic. I don't care if it's in a supposedly, humane environment. They don't have any use for those male chicks. What happens to them? That's my point of view. So still that energy from the slaughter, that energy of being exploited is still going to be in the food.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you. And I'd love to hear now the truth, because we've all been duped and hoodwinked into believing that we need milk and cheese, dairy products for calcium.
Fact is, dairy is acidic, and it leaches calcium out of the bones. So that whatever calcium is in that glass of milk, it can't replace the calcium that's stolen from your body by the milk. The only body for which milk does good is a cow, a baby cow, bottom line. That's who is supposed to get that milk. We can get calcium from so many places: kale, broccoli, figs, chia seeds, amaranth. I love amaranth. I use it a lot. We grow it here in Ecuador. Butternut squash. There are many, many sources of calcium that don't require you to rape and take the baby of a baby cow away from a mama cow.
Yes, yes, thank you. And on that note, where does protein come from?
Ah, yeah. And this is one thing right off the bat. Most people get too much protein. We don't need as much protein as they say we do. So that's number one. So most people, especially if they're like these bodybuilders that have to have protein for a stronger body, nonsense. We don't need that much protein, and it can interfere with the enzymes and so many other parts of other processes in our body. So protein comes from so many sources: broccoli, kale, peas, sweet potato, dates, grapes, nut butters, of course, tofu, tempeh, and tofu is not bad for you. Soy is not bad for you. Don't think you're going to get man boobs. You're not. Cashews, chia seeds. There are so many places we can get protein from. And if you're smart, you can, like a Buddha bowl is a perfect place. Some broccoli, some spinach, put in some special air fried tofu or something. I have so many wonderful recipes for tofu. Throw that in a Buddha bowl with some, quinoa, you couldn't have more protein, and it's all cruelty-free, and it's all clean. You want to always get non-genetically modified soybeans, right? Anything that you get from soybeans, you should try to make sure it's non-GMO, because that's a whole nother ballgame. But if you eat a healthy, whole foods, vegan diet, you can get more than enough protein. No need to get it from animal products.
Thank you. And what about omega-3?
Yeah, so omega-3 is really interesting because, it's a big deal in the brain health space. Everybody says you have to have omega-3, and you absolutely do to have a healthy brain. But it does not have to come from fish or, seafood. We can get omega-3 fatty acids from many sources, algae and flax.
We're listening to Kate Kunkel, who's joining us from Ecuador. We'll be taking a little musical interlude. Now we're listening to the piano music of Will Tuttle. From his album Animal Songs, this is The Fish Song. Mm-hmm. Brain Health Matters. This is from Kate's website, brainhealthmatters.today. Our vision: we will one day see a world where people have taken the knowledge and the tools to actively control their mental health, improving their memory, and paving the way for cognitive excellence. Our mission: we will make dementia a rare and optional condition by reversing the idea that memory loss and cognitive decline are normal parts of aging. Together, we will make the pursuit of cognitive health not just a journey, but a transformative experience, an unwavering commitment to a life lived at its fullest potential.
We just have to remember why we're vegan. We're vegan because of the animals. That's the very nature of what vegan means, is compassion for the animals. And in my case, and for my clients, it's about being healthier and having a better brain.
Thank you, Kate. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners? And then your contact information and your books and your programs for those who would like to learn more about you.
To everybody who's listening, we are not the only species that matters. All of the species, all of the animals matter. We are guardians in a way, but more importantly, we are protectors of all of these other species. We can start with every choice that we make when it comes to food. So that's number one. Number two is you have control of your health and you have control of your brain. Don't let for one minute think that you don't. You do. You have the power for a better brain, a better life. And my contact information, the best way to find me is at brainhealthmatters.today. That's where all of the information about my books, about the courses, about the coaching programs that I have, brainhealthmatters.today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for joining us on Vegan Nation and for all that you do.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate your show and getting more people involved and out there with it.
Thanks. Much thanks to all the listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Much thanks to my guest, Kate Kunkel, who joined us from Ecuador. She's also a Celtic harpist. Let's go out with her beautiful song. And this is Marlena Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day.